Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast right here at Chop Studios, and maybe one of the last days we ever call this place Chop Studios.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of stuff going on right here, but today you're looking at a different face on camera the whole time. Dave Sturch over with Big Body Bass going and filling in for Gooch. Gooch is on assignment right now. When I say on assignment, I don't know what the heck's going on with him. I mean, I know what's going on with him, but boy, oh boy, we wish you well. I know it's... you're pretty much never going to make it. And, you know, this might be your last day on earth, but you know, it's been a good run for, you know, you become a good friend of mine and, you know, AJ is going to be great in taking over the business. And I think that, you know, I think there's a future here. I think there is a future here. So, AJ has left Jersey Mike's. He already gave the 2 weeks notice and, you know, he's filling in. It's now Sturch and Bascone. Going forward. So, no, we'll get Gooch back in here tomorrow. But we do want to thank you guys for joining us here on a Wednesday. It is Wednesday, September the 22nd, 2021. AJ, how are we feeling this morning, bruh?
I'm feeling a little sleepy, right? But then I came in, I talked to you this morning, and, you know, there was some good news on the horizon, and I'm feeling pretty good right now. I'm feeling fresh. Feel ready to go.
I see your sport in a Yankee hat, which is...
Yes, I need to explain that for the people.
Explain it, because everybody knows that anybody who knows AJ knows he's one of our resident Mets fans, correct? Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
Yeah.
Go on.
Any day where I wake up and I'm like, oh, this feels like it's going to be a crap day, I throw on my Yankees hat. It's from my grandpa. He passed away last year during COVID, and I don't know. It always seems to put a smile on my face, reminds me of him. He was always a influential guy to me, so I like to rock it sometimes for good luck, people. So you know what? I know I'm a diehard Mets fan, but sometimes I rock the Yankees cap I support.
And it's a good time to support, because we will get into all things wild card race. Shout out to Jimmy Palumbo watching, tuning in the show right now. He says, Cowboys suck and Mets suck. So we appreciate all the support that Jimmy throws at us at all times. Appreciate you. Yankees fans never die. Grandpa is watching over you. That's what he says.
There we go.
So that is some good stuff from Jimmy Palumbo. I do believe in that. I had a grandpa live in Texas. So a lot of that used to be my go-to. Like when people are like, you know, you're from Jersey, how do you like the Cowboys, right? And I'm like, well, they're America's team. You know, like you got to like go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And even Jimmy Palumbo in Beer League has the greatest line of all time from Artie Lang. Here's the line. I'll set it up for you. Artie's going back and forth. You know the line or no?
No, I've never. I need to watch the film, to be honest.
Jimmy's going to be very upset that you don't watch that. haven't watched that movie yet. It is a classic. There's a poster in the right next to the pisser.
I'll watch it when I get home studio. Today.
That's what you got to do. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Or maybe Jimmy's got 15 Blu-rays laying around.
We can do that.
So, but anyway, the line is Artie Lang is going back and forth with... what the hell is, I call him Needle Dick. I mean, it's literally a nickname they named this pitcher, and they're going back and forth and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, Artie Lang goes, you shave your body hair, wear Speedos down the shore, and you root for the Dallas Cowboys, right? The guy goes, oh, wait, that's America's team. He's like, not New Jersey, asshole. You grew up 15 minutes from the Giant Stadium. You're a fucking Cowboys fan. And he goes, you're just jealous. But anyway, I need to watch
that movie.
You will get a signed copy. Maganelli, sorry. Good call, Jimmy. You will get a signed copy, he said, of Beer League. So congratulations, AJ. You got something you could throw on eBay real quick and make some cash.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell Jimmy that, but...
I did have a grandpa in Texas, so that was my go-to when people were like, well, you're in Jersey, bro. I'm like, well, my grandfather lives in Texas, right? And, you know, he passed away, but he would always text me during the hard years of the Dallas Cowboys of saying, like, you know, we stink. You know, it was very... I felt like I was talking to Jimmy Palumbo in Texas. You know what I mean? Like the Jimmy Palumbo in Texas, funny dude, balding, you know, just like Jimmy. Yeah. So it kind of worked out like that. So yeah. My mom's will buy. He said his mom will buy it on eBay if you put it on eBay. So anyway, we are here today to talk a little baseball, because you know what? We haven't really talked about baseball a lot because the NFL, once the NFL hits, it's so very hard to really hone in on anything but football, because besides football, you have the game picks and the reviews and the fantasy stuff and all, you know what I mean? So there's so much. Football is like, it takes over. It consumes you. This is why when people say to me like, oh, you don't watch this show? Like, whether it be, I don't know, The Bachelor, name a crap show that's on TV or any show, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, I can't believe you didn't watch that. I'm like, do you realize that like every night of my life is now consumed with some kind of football related thing? Mm-hmm. You know, I will go and watch any given Sunday on a Wednesday. Wednesday night before I go put on one of these sitcoms that are on. Because TV is just trash at this point.
It is. It really is.
I'll watch. You know what I'll watch? Like America's Got Talent. Because some of those feel-good stories, it's like, oh, that's cool.
That's what you consider not trash? No, I'm just kidding. You know what?
That's just as much trash as anything else. You're very right. Very accurate.
Objective. You know what it is.
I get along with, I rock with Simon. He used to be so much worse. Then this world got turned upside down and he's Mr. Encouragement now, where he used to make people want to just jump off a bridge on American Idol. There would be times where he's like, you just should might as well off yourself because you're so bloody bad. And I'm just like, you guys know how to talk like that. You talk like that every day. Anyway, trash TV. I watch football all the time, but baseball is on the horizon. The wild card race is absolutely on fire right now.
Yes.
And last night was another example of the Yankees overpowering a bad team in the Texas Rangers. They just can't seem to get out of their own way, which is great for us to be on the schedule as Yankee fans. But it's looking like the three-team race that everybody kind of saw coming from the jump. It's the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays. Now, currently, as we record this today and we're live today, the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays are in right now. The New York Yankees are a half game out right now. The benefit for the Yankees is it feels like and it seems like that everything is in front of them right now. Like basically they, in football terms, control their own destiny. Mm-hmm. Because after the Texas Rangers, they're playing the Red Sox and then they're playing the Blue Jays. So it's like you go out and take care of business, you're in the playoffs. You know, that's it. You'll be in that game, and then you'll throw out your ace and Gerrit Cole and then see what happens. But everything is right in front of the Yankees right now for the taking. And we didn't expect it to be here. I mean, look, midway through the season, most of us were writing them off. As like a lost year. I think they were 41-41 at one point, which
it
is
was
like
bad. It was really bad.
Insane to me. I've never seen the Yankees that bad ever in my life. I'm trying to think.
I haven't personally.
You're younger than me, but like I'm trying to think if there was ever a Yankees team that like finished 500. There was one year they made the playoffs, and I think they got bounced by the Tigers. It might have been Torres last year, but like other than that, like they're just always in it, always in it, always in it. And for this year, we're like, well, wait a minute, you know, like how are they not in it? You know, they have the best, one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, their lineup is murderer's row, top to bottom,
literally.
You know, like so, we all couldn't figure it out. Things weren't gelling. And I guess because in baseball you need a staff, you need a rotation, you need as my boy Brett Ernst would say, you need a rotation, you know what I mean? Like you need a rotation, and they didn't have one, you know what I mean? Like they had Gerrit Cole, and then they had insert pitcher B, C, D, and E, and it would never make any sense because then you had Kluber go out, Severino was on the shelf for a while, Herman, I don't remember what happened to Herman.
I was just about to ask you, wait, what the hell happened to Herman?
Right. Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't even remember what happened to Domingo Herman. Like, I want to say, I don't even know. Like, that's crazy, right?
I really don't know.
If somebody watching can fill me in, I don't care. But, like, that's the crazy part because then you were dealing with the Jordan Montgomerys and you got the one guy going out there looking like Mario with the mustache, Cortez.
Cortez is the man.
He's the man, and he pitched very well all season in relief and, you know, just overall, they pieced it together to get to this point, and now they control their own destiny. Do you think, going into the final stretch, there's like 10-11 games left, with the lineup they have right now, Kluber coming back, I don't know if you watched last night, but Luis Severino is back.
I saw that Sevy
Severino
action.
Looked good, and you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch because Lord knows this is what happens. You know, you get hyped about Severino, and then tomorrow you'll hear Booney say, well, he had a little bit of a setback. Like, oh, great, here we go again. But I will say the Yankees have a chance. Do you think they have a chance?
I genuinely think the Yankees have a chance. I think they'll perform in their two upcoming series against the Red Sox, against the Blue Jays. I mean, the one thing that I really think is the X factor here, right? I think that if Gerrit Cole could go out there, could fix his mistakes in the previous starts and go out there and dominate, I think that a lot of momentum, a lot of morale is going to be raised through that, and I think that they could carry that throughout those two series. So I think a lot of this really is on Cole's shoulders. I know we're talking about how it's a staff, but lead by example, and they should be golden.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. This is exactly what Gooch wanted, and I hope you're watching, Gooch. This is garbage. This is the crap that I didn't want, and you were like, I'm all for it. Let's go, bro. Let's get Yankees-Red Sox in a one-game playoff to see who goes to the play. Get all of that out of, get out of here. I can't, no way, man. Like, give me the Blue Jays, give me anybody else but the Boston Red Sox, because at one point the Boston Red Sox were reeling, right? And they were the worst team in baseball through a certain stretch. Even when the Yankees were winning that 13 games in a row or whatever, the Red Sox were just completely out of the picture, right? And now here we are. And you have a chance for the Red Sox and the Yankees to play in that one game playoff in, hopefully, the Bronx. You don't know until you find out who's one, who's two. But that's not what I want. I'm not interested in that at all. Like,
that's scary.
No shit.
I mean, no shit. But like that Boston Red Sox lineup, I know that you guys, the Yankees, obviously have Murder's Row, as you said. But there are some guys on that Boston lineup that are dangerous. Even not even the bigger names. Some guys that just really produce. So I'm a little concerned. But I think that if the Yankees put that guy, Gerrit Cole, on the mound, they got Sale on the other side. He's a lefty. The Yankees should be able to hit with the lefty if the whole lineup's righty. So I don't know.
That's very true. Yeah. Other than the pieces they added at the trade deadline, which, by the way, by math, it's like, we should probably add a lefty or two. Oh, is that the idea? Like, yeah. You should have did that, I don't know, a decade ago. Mm-hmm. But look, it's in their control. The Yankees can pull this off if they so choose. You know, I say so choose because it's truly about which Yankees team shows up, who can hit the ball. You know, you got Stanton. Judge has had a phenomenal year this year, which by all means could be not an MVP, because obviously that's going to go where it's going. But, like, you know, as far as Judge is concerned, I think he's had one of his more productive years. He stayed on the field relatively. There was none of these, like, oh, he's got an oblique strain, he's out for freaking 14 days. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't anything like that. So with 10 days to go, 10 games to go, whatever the case may be, Yankees have it in front of them. But let's talk about something else that is surging right now. And we talked about the AL wildcard being good. What in God's grit, what are they serving? What's in the water in St. Louis right now for them to rip off 10 straight games and now be in the playoffs if it started today?
When I was betting earlier in the baseball season, one of my favorite things to do to start the season was to fade the Cardinals, and I was making nice money off of it. I'll tell you what, I haven't been doing that lately. This team looks so good right now. Goldschmidt looks rejuvenated. Arenado is producing, and the pitching staff looks pretty freaking good right now. It's very interesting. I did not see this coming out of the St. Louis Cardinals even in July of this season. So it's nuts that they're making this run right now. And the Padres, where the hell are they to be found?
Well, they're having their own fights in the dugout, and now they're trying to clear the air. And I don't really buy into any of that stuff. Like, look, when you're touted as one of the better teams in baseball or one of the more on fire teams in baseball, and then things start going where the wheels start falling off and you're just kind of like, I don't know if we can get this done, the frustrations are going to fly. Like, you are a professional athlete, and if you give a shit, which hopefully some of these guys do, you're going to get mad. Like, you could see me on Thursday nights playing co-ed softball, bro. I get angry if we're losing, especially to a team I think we can beat. You know what I mean? And meanwhile, you know, our girls on the team are slugging Tito's on the bench, and they're just, let's go, we're shotgunning beers for every single we hit. I'm like, what? You know, yeah. I'm so competitive. So you would hope that these guys are competitive, and that's what may really turn up the juices for guys like a Tatis Jr. and guys like
Machado.
Cronenworth. Yeah. Those guys all at each other's throats because they want to win. I don't for a second buy that there's like actual friction between the two of those guys.
Not for one second.
Those guys are young. They're the future of baseball, and they're on the same team. It's like going to school and being picked on the same kickball team and with your best friend. Like, we're going to run this whole thing.
Yeah, and you'll get mad at each other if you're not running the whole thing.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
saying? Exactly. So they're going to get disappointed with each other, and that's just common nature of the beast, of the sport. But in any event, the Cardinals are surging right now. They're in the playoffs. The team that's right there, and I say right there because it's four games out, is the Cincinnati Reds. And we all thought they were a lock for a little while to make that wild card run, because we know the wild card was going to come out of the West. But we didn't see a lot out of the Reds in the last couple weeks. And now they find themselves four games out with 11 to play. What do you think the cutoff is when it comes to, like, we've seen miracles. We've also seen utter collapses. Mm-hmm. With there's 11 games left, four games out, do you feel like, obviously the opponents matter. Like, I just told you the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Jays, they all play each other. So kind of, evens out. And by the way, go Mets. All right, I know the Mets. Yankees fan for Mets right now because that's who are playing the Red Sox today. But I will say this, or I will ask you this. What do you think the cutoff is as far as, like, there's 11 games, you're down four. Is that enough time to make up all that? You have to have teams lose, like sub 500 baseball, and you got to, like, win out. You know what I mean? Like, do you think there's a shot for the Reds? I mean, look, they haven't even talked about the Mets, and we'll get into them in a second, but they're 7-8 games out. That ship has sailed, and they're just kind of waiting for that season to be over. And that stinks for the Mets fans because they actually had some kind of promise throughout the course of the year. They were in first place, but I think that's because their division stunk.
Yes.
Everybody stunk. Washington, Atlanta, Philadelphia, they all stunk. And that's why the Mets were surging where they were. And, you know, and that's why they were there. But I ask you, is it over for teams that are down four games right now at 11 to go?
So I think the Cincinnati Reds, obviously down four, I know this just makes sense to say, they're by far in the best position. Like, the Mets, I am not even remotely taking them into consideration to take that spot from the Cardinals. They're too hot right now. If you're winning 10 in a row, I mean, obviously you got some great momentum going with you. Thing is, with the Reds, I would probably, if you don't win six out of the first eight games, I think you're screwed.
So you got to go on a run. When you got to go on a run. 800 baseball type
you
stuff.
You got to be electric right now. Because it would really take a collapse for the Cardinals to lose that spot right now. I don't know if the Cardinals and the Reds play each other going forward with the remaining 11 games. Not quite sure, but it would take a collapse if the two don't play each other.
Yeah, so if they don't control their own destiny like the Yankees sort of do, it's going to take an utter, like, disbelief that a team like the Cardinals can run through the league in the last 2 weeks and then fall off the face of the earth. So, you know, if so facto, I think we're looking at the Cardinals being in the playoffs, dude.
It's
crazy to think about that. I'll touch the Mets for a second. I know we didn't write it down, but as a whole, you know, the Mets organization, their fan base, I'm not one of those guys on Facebook and Twitter that I just troll the Mets fans. The Mets fans did it to themselves this year.
I was going to say, we love trolling ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you guys came out of the woodwork and said, like, we run this city, it's our town, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, all right, that's cool, but nah. you know, like, you really don't run this town, and I don't think it's ever going to be the case. You might be, like, the flavor of the month. Flavor of the 2 months, you know, where people are, like, behind you. I don't hate the Mets. My dad's a Mets fan. My stepmom's a Mets fan. Like, these people I love are Mets fans, right? So I literally openly root for them to do well until, obviously, the ultimate Subway Series and the World Series, if that were to happen, right? So, like, I'm not happy that the Mets are doing what they're doing right now and the collapse over time happened. But a lot of things worked against them. You know, I'm not sure if what's his name? Rojas, the manager?
He's not it, man. He needs to be fired.
And now there's rumors about Billy Bean coming in as a general manager, which, again, it was a fun story. And I bet you Gucci doesn't even like the movie Moneyball.
No, but he probably hates it.
But a great movie about a great story about the Oakland A's with Billy Bean at the helm. That's when analytics took over the scene. You know what I mean? Like, well, this guy, he can be, you know, he can get on base a lot more than this guy strikes out. And blah, 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 let's rotate this guy. Let's bat him. Let's make him a catcher. Like, all those crazy things. Maybe they need something like that, and maybe they need to blow it all up. I know it sounds ridiculous with a guy like Lindor as the helm, and they want to sign Baez, and they got some other good pieces, but maybe it's time for the Mets to start just thinking and just kind of resurface it all. Remember, the Yankees were in a blow-up mode a couple years ago, but it just turned out they still won 100 games. You know, and it was just a weird, like, I can't believe this was supposed to be our rebuild year. You know what I mean? And they did good things. We got some fans chiming in. Well, it's, of course, Jason Demo. A lot of Yankee fans were jumping ship early. It's a weird thing to see. Yeah, look, I'll be one of them. I think I came on this podcast, and at 41 and 41 or whatever the case may be, I was like, dude, it is not looking good. I never jumped off and said, like, I'm not going to watch any more games. You know, I just didn't think that they had what it took to make this run, and now they're still right here, you know, but I'm talking about the Mets right now, and the season is just kind of deteriorating away, you know, and it's kind of over. It really is over.
It's over.
They're just kind of going through the motions right now, just making sure nobody gets hurt or any kind of long-term injuries. the big thing was Jacob DeGrom getting hurt, or nobody really even knew what the hell was going on with DeGrom for a long time. And finally they said, oh, by the way, it's an elbow. I'm like, oh, by the way, you think you would want to leak that kind of information to the fan base, but I know what they were doing. PR is a wonderful world, right?
Yep, exactly.
You know, they're going to sugarcoat shit as much as they possibly can to make sure the fan base still gives you the money for the tickets and go see these games, right? And now that it's 10 games to go, or even like 2 weeks ago when it felt like it wasn't going to happen, then they're like, oh, by the way, DeGrom has been dealing with XYZ. He won't be back. We're going to shut him down, this, that, and a third. All of a sudden. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, thanks for telling everybody what we already knew. You know what I mean? But it's just crazy. I mean, look, I think the Mets need to kind of blow it up, get some pieces, get more pitching, get some guys that could, you know, contribute on the daily. Maybe a little less personal, but like personality guys. Because all of a sudden, like Lindor is enough of a personality to kind of just lead the team and like mold the rest of the players around you. You want to get young, you want to get youthful, you want to get cheerful, you want to jump around, you want to celebrate double plays, whatever you want to do and be Lindor of this, there's only room for one of you.
I firmly agree with that. I mean, like the bias thing, like I don't know if he's trying to be the friggin' Robin to Batman, but I don't really vibe with it at all whatsoever. Javi Baez, shut your goddamn mouth, kid. You're striking out left and right. I just don't appreciate it. And then in terms of like blowing it up, I would love to keep Pete Alonso personally. I know that
he's the polar bear. He's the guy.
Everybody else I really don't give a crap about. Michael Conforto needs to get out of New York. I never want to see that guy in a Mets uniform.
Which is crazy to me because of how much he was loved for like really like quite quickly.
But it changes like that. I can't. This season, he looked like he gave up out there, and that's what bothers me the most. If you're trying, that's a different thing. He looked like mentally he gave up out there, and that's why I'm good. I'm good with Michael Conforto. Sign elsewhere. Go to the Giants.
We'll see if they blow it up. But like I said, like the Mets are, you know, they're kind of packing the bags right now. They're just going through the motions, and it'll be over before you know it, Mets fans. I know that you're being patient enough, but it is over. It is all over. Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom-and-pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is four pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest three pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to SilkCityHotSauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's SilkCityHotSauce.com. All right, so what else we got on the dock? Baseball's heating up, obviously, but we got a couple more things that have shot off the charts. Simmons.
Ben Simmons drama.
Okay, so if you're an NBA fan, which I'm a Knicks fan, you're a Knicks fan, this is music to our ears.
Uh-huh.
This is fantastic, perfect. Right? For New York market, even Brooklyn Nets fans, this is great. What the hell happened? You know, like what went so wrong? Like, here's a guy, and I sound like Collinsworth.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who just didn't show up in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, the fans got ruthless. Those Philadelphia fans, look, we're talking about the same fans in Philadelphia that punched a horse in the face when you won the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And ate your own shit. That's factual, okay? Philadelphia fans are just, you're like another breed of people. Maybe you're not even people. Maybe they're not even
people. They're creatures.
Maybe they're creatures. But all I will say this, they've ate this kid up and spit him out because now he doesn't want to be there anymore. So what's the next play for Ben Simmons? First of all, it's got to be a trade, right?
It has to be.
They're not going to cut him.
It would be stupid to cut him.
They can't cut him. All that money, like, so who, where, why is this happening? Is he just, can he not hack it in Philadelphia?
Why this is happening is because, simply put, if you're getting paid $40 million a year, you have to shoot the ball. It does not matter. Your old defensive player of the year, did that win you crap in the playoffs? No. Actually, you go to Trae Young really, really well for one game and then shat the bed the entire rest of the series, allowing Trae Young to score nearly 30 points in every other game. Ben Simmons, he fumbled the bag here. He is the one to blame. I'll tell you what, Ben Simmons ain't the nicest guy in the world either. Remember when Ben Simmons scored 1 point against the Celtics in the playoffs and everybody was ripping him? I saw him in the airport the next day when I was on a flight, and I bumped into him by accidentally. I said, hey, Ben, what's up, man? You were great, blah, 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 blah. Can I get a picture with you? No.
Just denied you?
No. I said, oh, all right, have a good one, man. I then turned around and was like, fuck Ben Simmons. I'm like, no wonder his jump shot
Never meet your heroes. You know, that reminds me of, you should have retaliated. When he said no, you should have gave it to him like he's not a person. Like, this, here's a story for you. When I was, how old was I? It was 95. So I was 10. I was 10 years old. My mother took me to the Cadillac golf outing. She got tickets through her boss or whatever. She used to take me. I think I went once. Gooch said he's been there a million times. But it was all NFL athletes, right? So the who's who was there. I'm talking Marino, Elway, Phil Simms. You know, all these guys were there. There was a couple lower tier guys. Jeff Blake. I don't know if you know even know who that is.
No, I don't.
Former quarterback of the Bengals. There was Eric Kramer, former quarterback of the Bears. Now I'm really dating myself here. Richard Dent, who's a Hall of Famer now. I believe he died, was there at the time. There was it was a moment where I saw Felipe Sparks, who was at the time the New York Giants cornerback. Okay, now everybody knows I'm rocking my Dallas stuff, you know, because that's who I'm looking for. I didn't meet one goddamn Cowboy that day. It was just full of everybody else, right? So I'm there, and I'll never forget it for as long as I live, because it's that detail. My mother actually has a picture. This is when fans and players can actually interact and nobody can get like a lawsuit, because this is what happened. So he's putting. He's on the green. And I'm like, I'm a kid, 10 years old. So I don't care who you are. I want your autograph. I have a football. It's autographed by everybody, right? I'm like, Felipe Sparks, can I get your autograph? He goes, yeah, man, as soon as I hit this putt, right? So he putts and he misses. So I just said, hey, can I get that autograph now? Like, you missed, but whatever. Can I get? He goes, dude, I just said I'll get you your autograph as soon as I make this putt. So my rebuttal, because I was a 10-year-old offended little Davey, right?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I don't want your autograph anymore. And with attitudes like that, that's why the Cowboys trounced you 35-0 a couple weeks ago. He looked up from his putt. He said, what did you say? And I was like, nothing, right? He comes running at me, goes under the divider, tackles me to the ground, and gives me a bunch of fake punches.
Fake punches.
Yeah, fake, like, oh, he's playing around. He's playing around with 10-year-old kid. Now, if you do that, the guy's doing 5-7.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
a 5-7 yeah. bid. But anyway, it's just funny how you didn't retaliate on Ben Simmons for being a prick.
You know what it was? I was just like, you know what, Ben Simmons, I don't need a picture with a bum ass who scored 1 point in the playoffs anyways. You know what? Like, I could score 1 point in the playoffs probably. Like, who the hell needs you?
Do you think you could? Do you think you could? Let's just say you're in the starting lineup for the 76ers.
If I'm getting 30 damn minutes, I think one time I could just be like,
just chuck one up and not get crushed.
I'm great at drawing fouls. I could draw a great foul. So honestly, you like that, maybe I could score 1 point in a game.
There you go.
I'm definitely better at the line than Ben Simmons, I'll tell you that for sure.
I think everybody's better at the line than Ben Simmons. So, but so Ben Simmons, he won't report. And now he's got to be traded because they're not going to cut him and eat all that money. So I beg the question, who's a suitor? I mean, who's got that kind of money to just, because they got to take the contract with him. That's how trades work. Unless you swap supermaxes or whatever the hell
terminology
is. Something
I've already kind of married in my head is Ben Simmons to the Rockets. I kind of thought that was already going to be a thing when James Harden was being traded. But now the 76ers are trying to ship out John Wall. And I know John Wall is obviously nowhere near the level Ben Simmons' other skills, not shooting. But I think he would be a better fit in the Philly offense. He would actually distribute the ball. You know, he'd shoot a little bit too, actually shoot the ball in the fourth quarter of the playoffs. It's not necessarily more so the talent, but just the fit. And obviously what the Rockets would have to do is in that huge trade where they got all the first from the Nets and some of the other trades they did throughout the season as well, they would have to throw those in with Wall for Simmons. I love the idea personally because Ben Simmons, you want a face to your Rockets franchise? Ben Simmons, the unliked kid, let's see what he could do. I don't know. I think that there's a lot to prove for Simmons. I think that in a new situation, maybe he'll be hungrier to prove something. Maybe with Philadelphia, he feels, you know what? I've tried. They don't want me. Fine. F them. I'm going to go to Houston, Golden State, wherever the hell.
If he goes to Golden State with Curry, I'll go nuts.
I think it would be sick. And I would
absolutely lose my goddamn mind. That would be another one of those super duper teams with all this talent. And let's see who can run with the Lakers. And is that... Oh, that would make me so mad. So mad.
I mean, and with the Warriors, I just think that's a weird trade. They would have to send a lot in terms of picks, and they don't really have a player that I see on the roster that would just naturally mesh with the 76ers. That what the 76ers really need is a point guard who could shoot and distribute, and the guy that is that for the Golden State Warriors is Steph Curry.
Therefore, it wouldn't really work. But listen, we'll see what happens with Ben Simmons. But obviously, he will not be reporting to camp, which starts, I'm assuming, soon. The season is a month and a half away, so I'm assuming.
I was shocked by that, by the way. Like, my friend.
It's back already?
Yeah, my fantasy basketball chat already started up. I'm like, guys, fucking enjoy the football season. Enjoy the goddamn football
Well, maybe
season.
They're Jets fans and Giants fans, and they already kind of just want to be like, I don't like football anymore.
They are. So makes sense.
Not all of us have wins nowadays. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of the NFL, there is some injury news to get to. Is that next? Yeah, it's next.
Yeah, let's bring up Big Ben.
Big Ben now questionable for Sunday as the Pittsburgh Steelers look to bounce back off of their, showing. They got embarrassed.
It was a really bad game by the Steelers.
Football against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think that... We said it yesterday. We've been saying it. We've said it when we were watching the broadcast, me and Gooch. And I'm like, yo, Ben is getting beat up. You know what I mean? And that offensive line, I compare it to the Giants. Like, you have stars on your team. I say stars. You know, you have money invested or draft picks invested in a Daniel Jones and a Saquon Barkley. Barkley's a star.
Barkley's definitely a star.
He's a star. But, like, why wouldn't you not, like, address the thing that protects your star, and that's your offensive line. When they realized that guys were retiring, jumping ship, going to Baltimore, going this, going that, and they just cheaped out. The Steelers cheaped out on the offensive line, and you have a 40-year-old quarterback, which I don't know if he's 40 yet, but I'm pretty sure he is.
He's has to be, right? Close.
He's got to be something close. He was drafted the same year as Eli and Philip Rivers, so I'm assuming they're all the same age. So maybe close to 40. But in any event, like, he's a statue as is. So he can't move around the pocket, and then he does not have a pocket. So he's getting crunched every single drop back. And I said this to Gooch. I said, look, every time he drops back, he looks. But by the time he gets two reads, hey, Chase Claypool, are you open? No. How about you, Deontay? No, not either. And he looks for that third read. You're done. Goodbye. Kabosh. So now, just like the Saints of last year with Drew Brees, he looked old. He looked like he couldn't throw the football anymore. There was things that there were Saints fans out there saying, this guy's holding us back now because he's just diminished. Would Ben missing this game coming up this week be beneficial for them to realize that they might be able to function better without Ben Roethlisberger?
So my only problem with that, right, is that while I do think they actually probably could function better without Ben Roethlisberger, they don't have a single backup quarterback that has shown any bit of promise to me. Mason Rudolph, in my opinion, has been horrible throughout his NFL career. Horrible.
He's still recovering from his carved-in head when he got knocked.
I can't blame the guy. He has a permanent concussion, but what is it? He looks horrible. Dwayne Haskins, I don't think, has ever shown a glimpse of promise, so that's not really good. And then the O-line, we need to emphasize that, because not only is it affecting the passing game, not only can Big Ben not really make the reads he needs to make, Najee Harris is not getting the rushing yards he needs. It looks like a mess over there in Pittsburgh offensively because, listen, as talented as Najee Harris is, we saw what he could do in space with that 25-yard touchdown reception. If you're trying to run up the middle and everybody's in your face within a second, How are you supposed to do anything? How are you supposed to run an offense that confuses defense with both the rush attack and the pass attack? It's a mess. It's really going to be rough for Pittsburgh this season. This is what we anticipated going in with them having a bit of an off year. So
the Steelers' MO has always been to run the football, and you can't do that. You can't even set up the long pass anymore because Ben doesn't have the time. So him being questionable is questionable for this Steelers team if they want to get off. Everybody kind of jumped on them real quick when they beat Buffalo in Buffalo, and everybody's like, wow, Steelers defense, look at those guys. Now you got T.J. Watt banged up. You know what I mean? The guy who just cashed in this crazy amount of money, he might not play. So like these are big, big issues early in the season. And I think that there's going to be some woes, man, because if Roethlisberger can't show what he's got, you know, he's in trouble. And Jay Devlin chiming in, Roethlisberger doesn't get the credit he deserves. His stats over time are strong. Even off Big Ben puts up big numbers. Well, fair, you know, like I think
the season's different,
right? This season might be a little different. Even last year, you saw that he was a little hobbled, but he was still lacing them in there, and all their receivers really benefited from a Big Ben good year, right? This year just looks a little different, and I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger is the guy anymore. I don't know if he's even a guy that can kind of like will his team to win. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's upright. I think he's on the ground more than he is up. You know what I mean? So it remains to be seen. But I got a question for you, though.
They're playing the Bengals this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting game now that you know the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
You think the Bengals have a shot at this one?
Absolutely do.
Even with that defense?
Absolutely do. The Bengals' defense is pretty bad. Their offense has shown promise, has shown that they can score and you know, win a game. You know what I mean? Like, they can put something together. It all depends on how much they can get to Joe Burrow. If he has time to throw back there with those three receivers that they have, I see a big day. Joe Mixon, you know, I'm always on that Joe Mixon, when's he going to get hurt train?
Yeah.
But he looks good in the first couple weeks, so... It's a division game. They're always going to play each other tight. I think the Bengals can definitely steal one here. I truly do. And will I pick them? I don't know. I'll wait till Friday for that. But I will say they have a shot, you know, especially with Ben a little banged up right now.
I like that. And you know what I also didn't think about? With T.J. Watt out, that's less pressure coming at Joe Burrow.
Yeah, man. You can sit back there and just like, how about you? No, how about you? Oh, yeah, you. You know, so. And just deliver. And I'm not saying T.J. Watt's the only guy that can rush the quarterback on that team.
Of course not.
They have a great defense. You know, they have a great secondary. But I guess it remains to be seen.
Any less pressure will take, though, if you're a Bengals better or whatever the hell it is. But more so around the league, we got some other injuries as well.
Hit me.
Let's go ahead and bring up the guy, Deontay Johnson, Ben Roethlisberger's teammate. Thankfully, he's not seriously injured after that really ugly play at the last play of the Raiders-Steelers game. And it
pointless play.
Yeah, and
pointless
I was talking play. To Gooch. Apparently, he's on pace to play this Sunday, amazingly enough.
Well, I think Tomlin went out there and said that he's okay, but he's not great.
Okay.
So that's he's like, not great by any stretch. You know how Tomlin and all these coaches, they don't really want to tip their hand too much. But
which is smart.
I would be hard-pressed to think that Deontay Johnson misses a game this early in the season.
He's a dog.
He is a dog, and I think he's the number one over there now. I really do.
Looking at that target share, it's not even close.
Yeah, leaps and bounds, the better receiver of the three. Chase Claypool is obviously number two, and Juju being
Chase
the third
Claypool
one.
Chase Claypool has the potential to be way better than Deontay Johnson, but... At the moment of
at
writing,
the moment,
Deontay
right.
Johnson's much better.
Yeah, so I mean, it's with that injury, I think he'll go. I think he'll go. I hope he goes. I have him in multiple fantasy teams, but I we'll get into all the fantasy set my lineup stuff tomorrow. But I think he's a must start every week if you have
another AFC North guy to bring up. Jarvis Landry on the IR for at least 3 weeks. Now the question to you is. We've kind of seen how the Browns have run their offense so far, not really throwing it all that much to the wide receiver. You think they'll be fine almost with this Jarvis Landry injury?
I think you at least need a threat. You need something to stretch the field, and I don't know if it's, you know, Peoples Jones is the guy to do it. You know what I mean?
Or like Harrison Bryant.
Or these guys that, like, everybody's like, oh, well, they're serviceable. Like, you need some kind of threat. And when I say threat, I mean, like, not, like, literally, like, he can do it all on the field, just his presence alone. So when Jarvis Landry's on the field, you at least have to like account for him.
Yeah.
When Odell Beckham eventually gets on the field, you got to account for him. I don't know Odell's status this week. They could be without both. Yeah. You know, that team is a running football team right now with, like, you know, Kareem Hunt backing up Nick Chubb. Those guys are great. I don't know if you listened to any of the audio that they captured from Baker Mayfield.
No, I didn't.
Oh boy, it's a doozy. So go on like Showtime or one of those Instagram pages. They actually mic'd up Baker Mayfield last week. Showtime did, and his shoulder actually popped out of the socket, and they reset it for him, and he was just like, "Oh, I'm good. It popped out. It's back in. I'm good." He's saying all this, and then he has to do a RPO, right, in which he hands the ball off, but then he has to throw a block. He throws a block with his good arm and choke slams the guy to the ground. And he goes, and he literally says, like, "I just threw that dude with one arm." You know, like, he says shit like that. Baker is that guy. You know what I mean?
Baker's a cool dude.
He'll make sure you know that he's good at football. But that team runs first. With Jarvis Landry being out, I think that's it's alarming. It's not end-all, be-all by that team because they run first. And my boy that I've been holding on hope for, David baby. Njoku. I love this guy, and he hasn't gotten the burn yet because he's either off the field or just can't get a look or can't get a target or whatever the case may be. I think Njoku is in line for a lot more targets now.
I'm actually starting Austin Hooper this week.
Hooper's fantasy. Another one. Hooper's a great tight end.
I used to love Austin Hooper on the Falcons, and against Chicago, actually, if you go ahead and you look at Chicago's defense, they struggle against the tight end position. I think they've allowed the most touchdowns to the position over the past, like, 12 weeks or so.
Wow. All right. There's a nugget from the fantasy guy. See, that's why we keep you around, bro. You got these nuggets.
But on top of nuggets, what else I got is another nugget. Bradley Chubb.
I heard. Surgery?
Man, ankle injury. Sucks.
So another Browns injury, this time the defensive side of the ball.
Well, what is it? Broncos.
Broncos. Yeah.
All good.
Same thing.
I know what you were thinking.
Bruh. The Broncos, Browns. But yes, Broncos, injury, defense. Not good. Kind of came out of nowhere. Nobody really saw that coming.
It did come out of nowhere. I don't really know what happened with him because I think there was a little bit of aggravation in like an earlier week, but then... I think in the last game, he really hurt it. So he's injured. He's going to get some ankle surgery. Not much more to talk about with that, but I think something that we should bring up, especially with Thursday Night Football taking place tomorrow, Tyrod Taylor on the IR, and it is officially the beginning of Mills Mafia, Mills Madness, Mills Marauders, everything.
Davis Mills officially announced their starting quarterback because Ty God Taylor will be eating some pine for a little while.
He's got a tough run of it, Mr. Tyrod Taylor.
He really has. I mean, last year, that's more the most shocking thing I've ever watched or witnessed or read about in my life.
I've never seen a player on the IR due to attempted homicide. And that's what he dealt with last year.
My man stabbed him in the chest and ruined his career. And then Justin Herbert was born. How do you like that shit? As far as the Texans are concerned, I did stream the Carolina Panthers defense this year, this week in particular. Or he shocked some people.
It will be crazy if he
and Mills
some
Mafia
people.
Is born, you know, and we deem that, we make a shirt, we sell it to the people, you know, we go that route. But that's a thing. It could very well be a thing. Man, the Texans, they're 1-1, right?
You know, realistically, they're going to lose bad.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get crushed. I got laughed at yesterday on Blogging the Boys when I told those guys that the Cowboys might struggle against the Panthers. And they're like, "Oh, we're going to beat the shit out." I'm like, y'all realize that, like, the Panthers could be definitely like a playoff team this
year.
Panthers are good, like, team. And, sold on Darnold. You don't have to be. You know, Cowboys are infamous on not knowing how to cover a running back out of the backfield. I think Christian McCaffrey is the best running back coming out of the backfield.
Watching that Eckler game,
that's what I'm saying.
Terrified.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, did anybody else see Eckler running around? Like, nope, like nobody around. But I will say that the hell were we talking about? Oh, the Texans. The Texans are 1-1, right? So it's like it's not a lost season, obviously. If they started off 0-2, it's almost like, all right, here's the writing on the wall. Here we go. We're not going to win any games. Blah, blah. They probably won't win this one, right? But if the Texans organization, the GM, all these new people that are involved in that, you know, because that place was a cluster F for a long time, and now they have some guys that they really like in-house, they got to make a move. You got to make a move for a quarterback. There are quarterbacks out there right now that are available to play. And I'm not talking about Cam Newton, even though he's definitely available to play. But there's a guy by the name of Nick Foles. I mean, I'm not saying he's okay, but he's better than Mills Davis or Davis Mills, whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. Miles Davis, whoever it is, at quarterback of the Texans right now. Nick Foles will probably get the job done. And right now, Foles is literally holding a clipboard in Chicago, not even dressing. Not even dressing because they got Dalton and they got Fields, right? Yeah. So then there's other guys like Joe Flacco, Gardner Minshew. You know, there are backup quarterbacks out there that are just going to sit there and rot outside a catastrophic injury. If the Texans were smart, I mean, they've made bad trades before, but a good trade right now would be to get a quarterback in house.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I think with them is that they know that the season's kind of a lost cause. Like, with the talent on their roster, it would be really hard. But the one thing I will say that I'm almost proud of the Texans, they have a ton of fight. Like, that first game coming out, whipping that Jaguar ass, like, that was impressive. I'm not going to lie, because David Culley, a guy who, when he coached the Chiefs, had zero touchdowns for receivers, the position he coached, they looked pretty damn good week one. A lot of receivers were getting touchdowns then. And then in week two, I guess the Browns team, they had like a lead for a decent portion of the game.
They
right?
did. And I will say their running back group is on paper is pretty good. Maybe a couple years ago
paper
was, you know, Phillip Lindsay, Ingram. There was another David Johnson.
Yeah.
So they're good, right? But I don't know, man. I'm hard pressed to see the Texans call this after 3 weeks of losing a washed year. Just because your quarterback is a piece of garbage doesn't mean, you know, I'm talking about Watson, not Davis Mills.
We love Mills.
Yeah, Mills Mafia all the way. Yeah. But I will say, like, you got to, if you're going to part ways with the guy, part ways with the guy and get yourself a quarterback that's going to be your future and or your savior for this year, because as bad as the team is, that whole division doesn't look that great right now.
And they're playing up to
the Colts are 0-2. Yeah. You know, the Jaguars are 0-2. The Titans are 1-1 on a crazy last second field goal. They could have been 0-2. So this division, I'm not saying that. Look, I had the Texans going 0-17, right? They already exceeded my expectations. So now it's just like house money. Mm-hmm. How much house do they want to play with? So
it's interesting. I could almost see them being like the Jaguars of last year, though, where they win the first game and then 16 straight losses. So
potential. Yeah, it'll be interesting. There's definitely potential there.
I guess the last thing we'll end our show with, what is it? A little lighter note. You see that Conor McGregor first pitch last night, buddy?
Oh, my God. I mean, look, when I was, what was it? Where was I? Oh, I was reading an article one time in a wrestling magazine long time ago. It was about Randy Orton. Do you know who Randy Orton is?
Yes. One of my favorite wrestlers.
Okay, so you know who Randy Orton is. So there's an interview with Randy Orton in a magazine, and they ask him, he's from St. Louis. They're like, all right, so are you big? And at the time when this interview was done, you a big Rams guy, you're a big Cardinals guy. And his reply, and it kind of just made me just like kind of, what did he just say? He goes, I wasn't a big sports guy growing up. And I was like offended. I was like, how are you a red-blooded male in America and not like sports?
There's just some people.
There are people out there that don't like sports, and I find them weird. Okay? If you can't get behind a sport, like even if you don't like football or you don't like baseball and you're a tennis guy or whatever, or you like water polo, whatever. Sports, just like one sport, right? So when he's like, I wasn't a big sports guy, that's when I go back to McGregor here, right? McGregor was born and raised to fight. He's a fighter, right? That's a sport in itself, but I feel like there's too many guys out there that are personalities and they're sports enthusiasts, but don't possess any actual talent when it comes to doing anything else besides what they're good at. Mm-hmm. Conor McGregor is good at beating the shit out of people or getting the shit kicked out of himself, right? Yeah. Or breaking his own ankle or whatever he's done in his past, in his illustrious career, and I'm sure he'll be back, right? But for him not to be able to throw a baseball, when he threw that ball lefty, I'm like, well, maybe he's a righty. That's how bad it looked. You know, like, have you ever tried to throw something left-handed?
It's really hard.
And you look stupid. You know, like, you can't even do the real motion, right? You look you know, you can't do it. That's what I felt like. I'm like, well, that was shit. And like, they're like,
well, that was ass.
He threw that ball so hard, right? It had some velocity to it, but it wound up in row 17.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Let's pull up the footage.
Oh, you got the clip. Oh,
yeah,
great.
I got the clip.
Go for it. Hit that. There he is. Oh, my God.
Christ. He knows it.
Well, maybe also, maybe, just maybe, maybe you don't wear your tightest jacket on that mound when you're trying to throw a baseball.
About that. Why does he have suits so tight that I can see his ass crack?
Like, right.
Brother.
I never got into it. And same thing when it comes to like the guys that I have like one pair of joggers, one.
Yeah,
right.
They're comfy.
They're comfy, but it's like I'm always a baggy. Like, give me baggy or something. Give me some room, you know. Like for these guys to wear these pants and these jackets and these suits that are like, and you're just your whole body is just like in a garbage bag, you know. Just I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it, But he ain't the first one to shit the bed when it comes to throwing the ball, right?
50 cents
ball hasn't landed yet. It's still in the orbit somewhere. That's how bad it was, right?
Yeah.
There's so many people that you would think 50 Cent, cool dude, rapper, phenomenal. Like, he's just the man, right? Can't throw a fucking baseball, bro. You can't throw a baseball. You tell me you never thrown a rock at somebody in a fight or something? Nobody taught you how to throw a baseball? You didn't self-teach yourself throw a baseball? It's a baseball. Like, a football is a different ball game. You got to grip the laces right. You know, you got to throw a tight spiral. There are people that I know that are athletes, can't do it. Tight spiral, hard thing. Not even me. Like, mine won't be the... I mean, I did drop a couple dimes into Gooch's hands, and he just dropped them against Scoop. That's just, you know, that's just math, and that's just science. But I will say, a baseball is a ball. Just a... Could be a ball of garbage. Like, I don't want this paper anymore. We're actually done with this. So I'm going to throw this. I'm going to crumble it up, right? Okay. I'm going to look.
Yep.
I'm going to throw it.
There we go.
And it's on you now. So, but you see that delivery? It's right on the chest.
Yeah.
And I threw that thing. I could probably do that from a baseball mound. It won't look like a friggin' 95 mile per hour fastball, but it will get to its target.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
or even near the target. That's all we ask.
Somewhere near where even if the catcher has to get up and go.
Yeah.
Or move around, you know, somewhere.
Did you see the catcher's face? Like how it
moved? Oh, I can only imagine.
It went from like smiling. Like the guy was like, to like.
Like, what the hell just happened?
He was in a state of shock. He was in an absolute state of shock.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so cringeworthy, you know? But it's like, it is what it is. But it is a fantastic way to end this podcast today because it's lighthearted and it's just, you know, he just don't do it.
Guy.
Oh my God. And then he sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
That was hilarious.
The worst. He didn't even know the words.
He was like, oh, take me. Ball.
He knew nothing. I'm like, how do you not know the words to the most American song in the history of songs?
Because he's a fucking scouser.
There he is. That's probably it. That's
a scouser. He's an Irish male. Yeah.
But
you know what I'm saying.
In any event, McGregor, just stick to fighting. Rehab your damn ankle. Stop picking fights with Machine Gun Kelly and just get back to the octagon.
Okay, personally, I would have loved him to rock Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, anybody would. Anybody would.
I can't even say what I would say.
And then he would take Megan Fox and take her back to, you know what I'm saying?
Take him back to me, Lodge.
All right. Oh, Jesus. All right. Got alarms going off and everything. But, all right. So, with that being said, it has been a morning here at Chop Sports. A lot of shit happening today. There's a lot of things. We're going to touch on something brand new on Friday. I just got the go-ahead to talk about something that you guys are going to be very, very interested in. If you're a fantasy football or a fantasy sports player, this is a whole new world, man. It's a whole new world. It's going to be something that literally, and me and Gooch both believe in this, could revolutionize fantasy sports as you know it. And I'm being honest with you. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm not just building hype. If you're a fantasy football guy and you want a real, real test, it's coming your way. It's coming your way on Friday. And today at 5:00, I'm going to be meeting somebody to potentially buy out the rights to the studio. So it will no longer be Chop Studios. It will be named something else Let's see what happens there, because again, setting up a lot of cool things for Chop Sports. We're keep, you know, grinding, moving forward. AJ's doing his thing. Gooch is probably doing a shit ton of graphics at home while he can't even sit. Or whatever the hell he's got going on. We hope he gets better real soon. We hope he's got him back here tomorrow for a Thursday night football preview, you know, because we do have a jam-packed matchup between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans.
Two of the premier teams.
In the NFL. So, for Sturch and Big Body Bascone, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
You know who I'm starting at the flex this week? Gooch's Kidney Stone. Ha 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 ha.